Good morning. It's Carolyn. I'm calling in from beautiful Scottsdale, Arizona at the Scottsdale Princess Hotel, where, you know, we are gathered together, the top leadership in Isagenics, along with the corporate staff. And I got to tell you guys, you know, I've been privileged to watch other network marketing companies. I've been in a previous network marketing company, and I have never seen this scenario where our corporate staff, the company owners, and the leadership are all spending the better part of a week together to bring to you guys a unity message. But I'm going to get into that in a minute. So it is Wednesday, December the, can tell me the date?
The 10th.
Wednesday, December the 10th. Thank you. That's Kevin's job. Kevin, if you're listening in podcast time, which I hope you won't be doing till next week, we're wishing you a pleasant holiday, and all of us need to take time to replenish, to refresh, so that we come back, you know, invigorated and ready to go. So with that, Sue shared some great takeaways yesterday. So what, we'd like to jump out and just say good morning and tell us your name and where you're calling in from. Let's just start with that.
Barbie Lee in Edmonton.
Hey, Ms. Video.
Louis DiBianco in
Toronto. I got BBL and Louis, our cast of characters. Are you guys on board?
Hey, of course we're here.
Of course you are. And I had texted Maura earlier to post a picture I took of a slide, which we're going to talk about shortly. So if you're on the Health, Wealth, and Freedom team wall, I am not able to get onto the Internet, so I'm very glad that I have cell service. So thank you all for doing that. And who else would like to jump out and just say good morning?
This is Stephen from Mesa on the Road. Good morning, Carolyn.
Good morning, Stephen from Mesa on the Road. Be safe. If you're on the road, be safe.
Absolutely.
Anybody else would like to step up?
Carolyn, it's Brock from beautiful downtown Loretto.
Oh, Parker. Oh, I'm so glad to hear your voice. Good morning, good morning. And we don't often hear Brock on the call, but I know he listens often in podcast time. So great to have you here in live time, Brock. Anybody else would like to step up and say good morning?
Good morning.
Good morning, Carolyn.
This is Toby from Colorado.
I'm sorry, who was that from Colorado?
Toby from Colorado.
Toby?
Yes, Toby from Colorado.
Thank you for stepping up, Toby. And there was a gentleman who was just following up right after Toby. Who was that?
It was Gino from Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Gino! Part of the good old gang. Well, good morning, everyone. And, you know, it's a pleasure to be here. It's a privilege for me to serve on this call. It's a privilege to have been invited to this leadership summit. And, you know, we are so excited about what we're learning here and wanting to bring back to this community. And really, it's all about, when I sat back and I was thinking about this, what is this all about? It's all about culture, the culture of this company. So I would love for you guys to just have an interactive, a little bit of interaction here in terms of, you know, what does the culture of this company mean to you?
Barbie Lee.
Hey, Ms. Bibia, you're really far away, so I don't know if it's me or it's you.
No? Okay, I'll just speak louder. Maybe I was just a little bit quiet. Is that better? Because this is my normal voice now.
Yes. Okay, awesome.
Okay, so funny, because my share this morning was about the culture. I met a lady a couple months ago at an Isagenics event. She's an Isagenics associate, and we just kind of connected. She's like, oh, you're so much fun. I'm like, oh, my God, I'm totally going to keep you. And so, you know, we've been chit-chatting, Facebook friends and stuff. Anyway, we had a conversation yesterday. She's been with Isagenics a few months, and we just had a great conversation, you know, just shared some stuff that I know, and she asked a question, and I said, well, you know, what's your rank? And she says, well, I'm going for a consultant by the end of the year. And I said, well, how many people have you enrolled? And she said, 3. And I'm like, why aren't you consultants? And she says, well, I have 1 associate and 2 preferred customers. I was like, why are they preferred customers? And she said, well, because they didn't want to be on auto ship. And I said, well, you can have associates not on auto ship. She goes, no, I can't. I'm like, oh, my God, you can. So anyways, as the process goes through, told her how to talk to her people to convert them over. And within an hour, she went consultant. And because of stored volumes, she cycled 5 times and went consultant. So she got her consultant bonus. I was like, yay, you got like $300. She's like, oh, my God, happy day.
Wow. You know, Barbie, that what you just shared is unique to the network marketing profession. And guys, there's a bit of interference, and I'm not sure how to put the call in the conference. I should learn all these things, Larry. So one of these days I'll do that. And so I'll make it a point, because I always tease my team about one of these days is not on the calendar. So by Monday, I will be in control and command. So if you're not speaking or you want to step out and share, you can mute and unmute yourself, which would be awesome. And Barbara Lee, I want to say kudos to you, because what you just did was elevate the profession of network marketing. And that is what we carry. That is what's unique in Isagenics. And in that, in the community of network marketing, we give ourselves a bad name, you guys, because of how we behave. We behave often in a predatory manner, coming from a place of need and greed, coming from a place of desperation rather than inspiration. And what Barbie Lee just did is inspire this woman and create belief in her that she can do it. So for whatever reason, whoever enrolled her, you know, didn't give her the information. And, you know, what? God put you in her path, and here she is. You know, $300 in the month of December, what will that do for her? So thank you for that share, and thank you for, you know, really showing what Isagenics is all about. Anybody else, what does the culture of Isagenics mean to you?
Lewis.
Go for it, my friend.
Yeah. To me, one of the most outstanding things in this culture is the authenticity. And I'm talking about an authenticity that begins with Jim and Kathy and goes consistently down through, right down to customer service. It is, to me, remarkable. I've been here for about 8 years. We live in a society where people are very skeptical about corporations because very often what they publicly state is not what they practice, and people are used to that. And in this company, this multi-million dollar going to billion dollar company, we get what they say is what they do and what they practice. And it's just a really, really special and very, very, very beautiful and rare thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the most important things to me.
Well, you know what? Thank you for that, Cheryl Lewis, because it's consistency of message. Jim and Kathy Coover haven't moved off their message, and leadership starts, right, from the top down. So why is it that I made that post, or I think tomorrow, why have Maura put that post up for me on resolution and conflict? Have you guys seen that, if you're on the Health, Wealth, and Freedom Team page?
Yeah, I've seen it.
Okay. And this is what we talked about yesterday at this leadership summit, where, you know, our culture, we are growing so fast that there is a tendency for the train to slip off the tracks. And if we don't catch this now, the culture, the integrity, keeping our culture intact will soon start to disintegrate. And there are leaders in the room that came from other network marketing companies where they saw that happen, where the company is growing quickly. They're in that momentum phase, and people are in a place of need and greed. And Jimmy Smith taught me that at the beginning of my build in Isagenics. I said, tell me what will be different here. And he shared a couple of tips with me, and he said, this is one thing you want to watch out for. And someone shuffling some papers or doing something in the background, guys. You can hear a little bit of noise. If we can clean that up, that would be awesome.
Carolyn, try star 5. Star 5 might mute people.
Okay, star 5. All right, so I think that noise went away. Thank you, Roy. So can you guys, well, I guess I can't ask you if you can hear me because I just muted you all. Anyhow, let me just do this. And how do I unmute if I press star 5?
I'm on the moderator line today, so you try it again.
Okay. I just pressed star 5 again because I want to keep the call open and interactive, you guys. So I lost my train of thought there. Oh, yeah, so, you know, where the keeping the integrity of our culture is so important. And the leaders in the room we were sharing, they came from some other companies where when the build is happening really quick, people take shortcuts. And what does that lead to? It leads to conflict. And so our job yesterday was to disseminate different scenarios where, you know, we understand that conflict does happen. You know, have you ever had a disagreement with another associate in Isagenics? Have you ever felt that someone has been disrespectful of you? Have you ever been in a place where, you know, somebody pinched your prospect? I don't know how else to say that politely, right? So that kind of behavior does seep into the culture. The key is, how do we handle that? And David Wood did a masterful job of breaking this down and defining it that as leaders, it's up to us to resolve the conflict. And how we do that will keep our culture intact. Because in conflict, you know, and part of what I'm sharing, you guys, this all comes from David Wood, so I want to give him the credit. In conflict, there's always truth. And they talked about, and there's probably a statistic out there that, you know, somebody can Google on the internet, how many times a day people lie. Why do people lie? Well, one of the messages that came out is they do that because we want to fit in, right? So in resolving conflict, oftentimes what happens is there's a lot of finger-pointing going on because we want to be right. We don't want to be wrong. We don't want to be told that, you know, that it goes back in, you know, our history of how we grew up and the pointing of the finger. So it's a protection mechanism. So everybody is waiting for someone else to go first. So let's break this down, how we can resolve conflict using this acronym of leadership, right? So the L stands for, you know, lead with intention. And it's up to us as leaders to build a bridge back to that place of keeping our culture intact. So it's up to you. You're a leader on this call, right? And people say, well, what is a leader? The leader is the person who goes first. The leader is the one who takes the risk. The leader is the one who says, I'm going to resolve this. I'm going to take responsibility for this. And we have the opportunity in the room to clean up some of the stuff that was going on, to clean up, because as leaders, as we grow and splinter off from, you know, our upline, sometimes ego gets in the way. And sometimes, well, that's not how I do it. So, you know, those kinds of things get in our way. So I'll speak for myself. I want people to always know what my intention is. Sometimes how I say things may not come out right. However, the underlying message is my intention is I always want for you guys to win. And so it's up to me, if how I said something didn't come out right, it's up to me to clean it up. This is something that Susan and I learned in the very beginning of our build together, because we knew we were on this journey for a long term. We knew we were committing to this journey, not for a month or a year, but for many, many years. We knew that there's going to be times when we won't agree with each other. So we came up with some agreements, and we call them clearing conversations, doing it in a respectful manner where we're not pointing fingers, doing it in a way where we can share, and not pointing fingers meaning speak for myself. This is how I feel, and I want you to know my intention. And taking the high road, right? And Kathy was sitting in our circle of, you know, we were discussing this in groups of 10, and Kathy Cooper was in our circle, and she watched this. She's kind of like the mom of all of us, and she said, where we are right now, it's like teenagers spreading their wings, where we're growing, and sometimes there's rebellion that happens. And so how do we resolve the conflict is you've got to go to that person. She said people come to her and tell her things about, you know, other, you know, the conflict, the issue. And her first thing is, have you talked to that person? And this is something I learned from my husband. I would get off flight and I'd be, I can't believe that flight attendant did that, and go, oh, and she's in the back talking about me in the front, and, you know, and I was in charge of the cabin and all of this nonsense was going on. And he said, did you put the two people together? did you go and tell the person that you were having the issue with what the issue was, or did you go and talk, you know, we go and talk to person three about person one, and there's no way to resolve that conflict. So the first thing is, you know, let your intention be known, and you take the first step. The E stands for inquire about the timing. So ask this person, when you're having this clearing conversation, it's permission-based, just like our connecting, permission-based. This, you know, it's you got to address the elephant in the room and ask, is this a good time for us to talk about this issue? Because resolving conflict as leaders is not about getting my stuff off my chest. It's about a mutual acceptance of, are you ready to speak? Because sometimes people are not ready to talk to you. And guys, I'm telling you, I've had this happen in my own, you know, of course, in my own team, with a leader that I very much respect. And I did something which put her in a compromising situation. At the time, I didn't recognize it. And she didn't speak to me for, you know, a good part of a week, and I knew something was wrong. And so she needed that time to go away and think about it and really, you know, think about, did the person really mean to do me harm? What was her intention? And then she was ready to speak to me, and I shared with her. I said, this was my intention, and I'm sorry if it came out right. So it was my responsibility again to clean it up. So intention versus interpretation. So her interpretation was this. My interpretation was one thing, and her interpretation was another. So when she understood that my intention always is to see her win, but in this particular case, I had to take responsibility and say, you know what, I'm sorry. I messed up. And I really didn't mean for it to come out that way. And so we've cleaned that up, and we're able to go on and work together. The A stands for ask. Ask them to go first. So whenever there's a conflict, we tend to say, well, you did this, and you. And I know that, that happens in our personal lives as well, right? So give them the opportunity to speak first. And ask them, can I hear what's going on for you, right? And so why don't you take the first step? Share. Tell me what's going on. Give me your version of this scenario, because sometimes it's like, you know, we're both looking at the same object and seeing different things. And, you know, Erin Postel, I love Erin. She's a life coach, and she threw in some suggestions, and you purge the situation. You ask people, what else? What else? What else? Because oftentimes we stuff things down, and it comes out later on down the road, and it's like, whoa, where did that come from? So you purge the situation, get everything out. The D is, and again, I speak for myself, I'm guilty of this. When somebody, you've given them the platform to share, and then the D is don't interrupt or rush them, right? Make sure that you have the time to sit and listen to this person. And, you know, when we were sharing in the room yesterday, David was saying, in resolving a conflict issue with these two particular people, the one person talks for an hour and a half because that's how much stuff had been going on for them, and they needed to just get it out. So, you know, when you're going into the situation of resolving conflict, you know, make sure that there's time to do that, because we don't want to rush people through this process. People want to be listened to. And so that's our job as leaders when we're resolving conflict in our teams, because trust me, it is going to happen, you guys. So it's up to us to understand that there are processes in place where we can do this in a very graceful manner. And, you know, listening is just being able to be changed by the other person, because they may be saying something where you don't understand how hurtful it was for them. So give them the time to, you know, to say what's on their mind. Don't interrupt them. Don't rush them. And this is a mirroring technique that we talk about when we're speaking to our cleansers, so we understand what their message is, what their need is. It's the mirror effect. Repeat back to them what they said so that they know that you heard them. So, you know, and when they do, and I've done this in the past, so as soon as somebody says something to me, then I need to address it right now. And so if they say something that may be a little bit hurtful to you, take some time, sit on it. And this is something that has helped me when, you know, I've received an email or something's come in and I immediately want to react because that person has pushed my buttons and, you know, I've typed up something and I've sent it off to them and then a minute later I'm in a place of regret. So what I've learned is to write things out, write them out on a piece of paper, type them out, whatever, save it for a day, look at it in the next morning and see, do you feel the same way? And oftentimes that time frame will give you a different perspective. The E is to explain your side of the story. So now that person has shared how they feel. Now you can explain, you know, this is what happened for me. This is how I felt. Being respectful of their view, not, you know, knocking them down and saying, well, again, pointing the finger, you. It's taking responsibility and saying, well, you know, when this happened, I felt blah, blah, blah. And so the other person can, you know, see your point of view. The R is this is what happened. So, you know, maybe you can resolve this issue and maybe you can't. Maybe it's just going to come to an impasse where you're going to say, okay, you know what, we're not getting anywhere, so we're just going to let this sit. And it may require that you have a third party come in to resolve this issue. The R stands for, now this is where, you know, in network marketing, and this is very prevalent in the airline industry. When somebody did you wrong, oh, my goodness, news travels really fast. And I share this with people. One of the reasons in network marketing, good news travels fast, bad news travels even faster. And so when I started my journey into this profession and on the airplane, I thought, okay, I didn't want anybody saying, here comes that pyramid girl, right? So I was respectful of how I dealt with people because I knew that if I couldn't create a good experience for people on this plans program, it would run rampant throughout the airline because people love to gossip. So the R is resisting the urge to gossip. And we've been taught by David Wood about the whisper culture. The whisper culture can tear down all the good that you created because if you can't resolve the conflict with this particular individual, the tendency is to go talk to somebody else and talk badly about that person. So, you know, if you can't resolve it, bring in a third person. But let it die on the table. Don't talk about it to anybody else. And this stood out to me. Whoever gossips to you will ultimately gossip about you. And I've learned this principle from Jimmy Smith and Susan Scott. We teach people how to treat us. So if I tell you something in confidence and I hear about it later, you've just taught me something about yourself. You've just taught me that I cannot trust you. And therefore, whenever I have an issue, I will not come to you because you've just sort of laid your cards on the table. So don't gossip about other people. And you see, the challenge is that we're not taught to resolve conflicts at an early age. So we need to get it off our chest. So we go tell somebody else about what this other person did to make ourselves feel better. But the other person isn't there to defend themselves. And so my husband taught me this. He said, when you're talking about people, talk about them as if they were standing beside you. And that has helped me stop some of my conversations because it's like, hello. And, you know, we are the sum of the five people we hang around with, you guys. My mother-in-law taught me this. She said, if you have nothing good to say about anyone, don't say anything. And she, in her life, has had cause to talk about, you know, the negativity that's happened in her life and her sisters and how they didn't support, you know, this whole family situation. But she never, ever said anything bad about any of her siblings. And so am I like that all the time? No. Can I be better? Yes. and it starts with awareness. So gossip is something that will tear our culture down, tear us apart, guys. So that to me, the R stood out there. The S in leaders is stay true to your intention. Take the high ground. Raise the bar. A leader in my last company taught me this. He said, you know, when people disappoint you, bless and release them. When people in your organization do things, they break promises, whatever, they, you know, again, they show you how you're going to treat them. Bless and release them, because people will disappoint us. That's human nature, you guys. So, you know, I just want to, you know, I wanted to bring this to light, because in this profession of network marketing, there will be people who disappoint you. There will be people who promise one thing and do another thing. There will be people that say, yes, you know, send your people to my event. It's an open event. We'll take care of that. And then they sign that person up. That happened to me. There'll be people in your team who will try to recruit people out of another team. There'll be people who will be telling, and that has happened to me. There'll be people who will be saying, well, you know what, you're not happy with your upline. Yeah, you know what, I've heard this about them, and just wait out your 12 months and 6 months, 12 months, whatever, and you can come and join my team. Well, you know what, I get that. So, you know what, you can sign your spouse up under a corporation name and come into my business. Guys, it's up to us to set the bar high so that when people talk about Isagenics, they say this kind of stuff doesn't happen in that company. And there are people, when you speak on the stage, there are people who come to you and they've come to me and shared that they're not being supported by their upline. And they'd like to join, you know, this team or my team or their team. So what is your response if that was you? Is this your opportunity to say, oh, here's a new person on my team? Because now you're operating in a place of need and greed. And resolving conflict means getting to the place of freedom, where you know there's so much abundance in the universe. My first question when people say things like that to me is, well, tell me what you've done, you know, to build your business. Tell me how many people you've talked to. Tell me, show me your schedule and what does it look like? Because it's so easy for us to shift the blame onto other people because we can't take responsibility for ourselves. So I want to bring this message to you because I know that at this juncture in our growth, Isagenics is 13 years young. There are people who are like shooting stars. They're, you know, going from 2-star to 8-star in a weekend. There's a tendency for the rest of us to feel like, well, what's the matter with me? And when we get into that place, sometimes we take shortcuts. So I'm just going to pause here, and I would love your feedback.
Carolyn?
Yes.
This is landing very, very powerfully on me. This is something I've been thinking about a lot lately. And if I may share, I have a person in my life, like I guess he's still in my life because he's been part of my life, a person that I had a professional and friendly relationship with, and 3 years ago I broke it off precisely because of this issue of whisper culture, intense gossip that led me to a point where I said, I cannot and I will not trust this individual. And it was a good choice for me to make. Sad, but I did it. And what I want to share also is that there is an amazing audio book called Awakening the Power of a Modern God by Greg Braden, and it's G-R-E-G-G Braden, that will really go in depth into a lot of the principles you're talking about, especially the idea of blessing people who offend you. And in fact, in this CD, he takes it to a level that's really, really difficult for people to embrace, because he talks about, you want to really put this to the test? Think about terrorists who have killed hundreds of thousands of people. Can you, in your heart, bless them and move on? And so, anyway, I could go on for hours about this because I'm very passionate about it, but thank you for bringing this up.
Well, thank you, Lewis, because, you know, you're always such a student, learning. You know, I was in Vancouver last week, and my girlfriend shared this with me. Her daughter is working for a particular person who is not the nicest individual, and he doesn't treat, you know, my goddaughter very well. And, you know, she likes her job. She likes what she does. And so the advice mom to daughter was, give the person what you want. Give love. If you want love back, give it first. Because so often we're coming to take. And when we're coming to take, that balance is thrown off. So if I want love from a person, if I want patience from a person, if I want understanding from a person, then as a leader, this applies in our personal lives as well, you guys. What is it you want from your children, your spouse, your parents, your siblings? Give it first, because oftentimes people behave in a manner because they don't know any different. They don't know the model. This man is an obnoxious man. And so when you're nasty to that person because you're reacting, then it exemplifies or it edifies and says, okay, well, my behavior, I'm gonna react back. So you have this ping pong effect where nothing's behavior stays the same. So sometimes it's gonna be up to us guys to say, you know what? Think about the person's intention. Have they been in a place where they've seen and modeled the thing that you're seeking? So I always lead with intention and say, yeah, you know what? This is my intention for you. I want the best for you. I want you to succeed. Will there be times when I kind of mess up, screw up? Yep. But let's go back to that place of intention. And a lot of conflict would be resolved just from that place. Anybody else?
Barbie.
Hey, Barbie.
You know, Carolyn, I love this whole topic because, you know, I grew up in a really, really small town. And one of the reasons that I walked away from that town the minute I graduated was because of gossip. And, you know, it's like people, they mean well, you know, people, they, to this day, they can be really good people. But I just could not deal, I just chose not to deal with the gossip that was going on where people thought that they knew what you were doing and they didn't know what you were doing or whatever. They were just always talking about people, and I needed to walk away from that. And that is really something I just do not tolerate. And I love how you stated in there, Carolyn, that if they're talking about you, then, or they're talking about somebody else and they're talking about you. And I'm going to keep that in my back of my brain on that one, because if I ever am around someone and they're talking about somebody else, I'm going to ask them straight out, do you like to be talked about?
Mm. You know, somebody. That's
yes.
A huge takeaway, right? It's whoever gossips to you will ultimately gossip about you. And so one of the things that was offered in resolving conflict is bringing people together and, you know, and saying, like, hey, you know what, there's a conflict and people coming to you and telling you about how they were wrong. Well, let's get that person on the phone right now. You want me to call them right now and let's have this conversation, right? So I don't want to get involved in people's conflicts unless it's affecting my business. Bottom line is getting those people together because, you know, those two people that have the conflict have got to deal with it. And you said this, Barbie, you know, gossiping. When people come to you with gossip, you have the option to not listen. You have the option to say, you know what, I really don't want to hear that. Please tell me something good about that person. and that will stop them in their tracks, and they will know that they can't come to you with that stuff. And so, you know, you establish that right off the bat. We perpetrate that by listening to it and sometimes contributing to it. And, guys, I'll tell you this. I'm not saying this and pointing fingers. I've done that. And so this was a huge learning lesson for me to say, you know what? Why am I doing that? Why are we jumping on the person when they're down? How about standing up for that person and saying, you know, is that, you think that's really what that person meant to do? We'll have a whole different culture. We'll have a whole different community when we start to behave in that manner. Let's take one more takeaway, and I got to get ready to get into this morning.
Barbie Lee.
Hey, the CDL.
Good morning. Fantastic call, by the way. Oh, my gosh, like totally. And I agree with Barbie with that whole, you know, if they're talking about somebody else, they're probably talking about me to somebody else. It reminds me of a strategy I used to use with my students. And if they come to me with a complaint or something that, you know, and I'd say, real, I got a couple of quick questions for you. Okay. I said, am I part of the problem? And the student would go, well, no, it's, you know, it's Johnny's fault. And I'd go, can I be part of the solution? Well, no, he's just a dum-dum. Okay, and then who needs to be part of this conversation?
Nice.
And they kind of
awesome.
Go, oh.
I love that.
It really just, and it diffuses it, so I don't have to be that, well, don't tell me about that, cause, you know, because it diffuses the situation. It's really simple. I'm like, can I be part of the solution? Then I definitely like to be a part of the solution. So
I
that was
love
one of my strategies
that.
With kids.
Great
I think adults might be able to use it, too. Who knows?
Thank you. I think, and that's a perfect place to end. You know, can I be part of the solution? Or do Pete just want to, you know, perpetuate the problem? So I'm going to leave you with this quote that was shared with us yesterday, because here's the important thing, you guys. You know, one of the reasons why we've come together at this leadership summit where Jim and Kathy Coover are in the room and all of the top corporate staff are in the room is because they want to protect and preserve the culture of our company. They want to have unity of message. They want to make sure that as we travel around the country that we're delivering as leaders the same message, the same teaching method, the same way of, you know, what you hear from Carolyn will be the same thing that you hear from Herb Cepeda. What you hear from Mike Delera will be the same thing you hear from Nancy McAllister or somebody from another team. Or when you go to another country or you go to another opportunity meeting, it will be that unity of message that we're standing together and we're standing strong. That is what will preserve the culture of this company. And it's up to every one of you on the line to determine if you want to be part of that culture and continue it and preserve it and know that we have something special here in Isagenix. So I want to leave you guys with this Nelson Mandela quote. What counts in life is not the mere fact that we have lived. It is what difference we have made to the lives of others that will determine the significance of the life we lead. That hit me really hard because it's up to me to determine how am I going to live, how am I going to lead, and how am I set an example for others to see that there can be a different way. So with that, guys, I'm going to bid you all a beautiful day. Go out and bless someone's life, and we'll be back here tomorrow morning. And I'm not sure who's doing the call tomorrow, but having Kevin here, you know, was that Maura speaking?
No, it wasn't.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll see what happens tomorrow morning, and maybe a surprise. So with that, have a great day, you guys, and know that, I want the best. All of the leaders and trainers on this call, we only want the best for you, and so let's go out there and bless someone's day. Have a great day, everyone.